Welcome to Declarations of War, episode 50, our landmark 50th episode. We are recording this in front of a live studio audience. This will be our first time doing that as well, and we thank you for joining us either live or through our feed. And hopefully this is quite a memorable evening for everyone involved. We are joined not only by my stalwart co-host Ninja Turtle, but by probably one of our most beloved co-hosts of all time. One of the original founders of the podcast who has left Eve, has come back specifically for this episode. The one, the only, the master of the pandemic phone, Jimmer Linz.
Wow. What do I say to an introduction like that? That is so kind of you. It's great to be back here, Alec. I am super, super happy to be here. I was really stoked when you sent me that PM and says, hey, we're doing this 50th episode. I was like, fucking A, I'm going to be there. So yeah, thanks for having me. And it's really great to be back.
Yeah, I was glad to be able to get you, man. Jimmer was like it was my co-host for like the longest time back when we were doing episodes like, what, every 2 or 3 months or something like that?
Well, we theoretically tried to do them every couple of weeks, but yeah, it ended up being every month or two.
That's why it's only number 50 for us having been around for so many years. But, you know, we took a couple breaks, we had some problems with editing. Things finally managed to stabilize somewhat. And, you know, I don't know, Jimmer, have you had a chance to check out our new web presence and all that, the new website and stuff?
I have. That is super, super sexy. I even found my old kill mails on it and shed a little tear. I was like, oh, I miss those days.
back in the day when we had, was the the dude that wound up quitting and taking a whole bunch of ISK and like shut down the site and didn't give anyone a chance to take their content over. He used to run like a community blogging site.
Oh, right. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. But yeah, the blog site, I can't remember his name anymore, but yeah, I remember that. That was sad.
Yeah. It was like everybody that didn't have their own blog site basically used this guy's site. There were a lot of great blogs and great podcasts on there, and then he just up and left and locked the server down so we couldn't move anything anywhere. I think we lost
Podlogs, like that was what it was called. Podlogs.
Yes, Podlogs.
Sad face.
Yeah. We lost like what, 13 episodes off that or something?
I don't know. I mean, that happened a little bit after I left the game, so I did catch that it happened, but I don't remember specifically how much was lost, unfortunately.
We were hosting all our files on his server. And yeah.
You know, I was actually hosting those files on another one. I may actually still have some of those. So after the show, let me know which ones you're missing, and I'll dig around in the archive, see what I can find. Maybe we can produce one from the vaults.
A few throwback episodes. I like
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
And apparently one of our audience, Miss Lum, may have them all as well. We shall see.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Alright, let's do some shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to the Pirates of Molden Heath, and I want to give a very special shout-out to Drunken Disorderly, in particular to Keitha. He's a very cool bro, and we almost killed a Pandemic Legion Dreadnought together the other day. It was very memorable. So, shout-outs to those guys. Thanks for being awesome and willing to have enormous balls. Turtle?
I want to give a shout out to all the fans and people that listen and download and, you know, respond to our content and stuff. It's a great thing for the community to have that interaction, and I'm really happy that I get to be a part of it. I want to give a shout out to Alex G 567 in particular, guy who came before me, taught me a lot, and just keep on listening, guys. Thanks a lot.
Suck up. Jimmer, do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, one or two. I'm going to echo what Ninja Turtle said. All of the fans of the podcast, I am so super pleased that it's still going and people still like it. And it's this well received. It's just, you know, I look back on it when we first started it and it was just like, oh, let's do a podcast. And, you know, it turned out to be freaking awesome. So I'm really super pleased. So a huge shout out to everybody who listens and all the fans. And also a special shout out to Nidia Masters, just because, well, He's Nydia, and some of my fondest memories in EVE are of him screaming at me on vent at how terrible I was at this game. So, yeah. And again, and a shout out to everybody in Noir, of course. So, thanks, guys.
I gotta say, I'm kind of sad Nydia's not here.
Yeah, we should get him on. Let me see if I can Skype Nydia on here.
Get him to come in here and shout at somebody.
You try Skype, I'll try client.
I've messaged the infamous Nydia. Let's see if we can get his vulgar ass on here. I don't know. That might be a long shot. We're going to try. Now, we would like this to be a very musical episode to celebrate our long tradition of having like this musical heritage. Noir and Declarations of War have done tons of parodies, covers, you name it, we've probably done it. There was a duet, me and Ari Danica singing Space Unicorn. I did Click Lock, which apparently people still love to this day. And Jimmer, I wrote the lyrics for it, but Jimmer performed it absolutely incredibly. Pandemic Phone. And before we get into anything else, we would like him to do a live version of Pandemic Phone for everybody.
Okay, you ready? I can go ahead and try it now.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's get a shot.
All right, let's see how this sounds. Oh, shit. Do something else for a second. I accidentally closed Chrome.
Okay. This is a good time to talk about our sponsors. We are sponsored by EVETimecode.com. They're probably the most community-facing place to get plexes and timecodes. So if you want to support the community and do so by giving your money to someone who will actually give back, go to EVETimecode.com where your business counts. And, as always, not really our official sponsors, but certainly provider of all things swag, welovefine.com/EVE. That is the EVE community site for We Love Fine, where you can get Declarations of War shirts, you can get Voices from the Void shirts, you can get Noir shirts, and not just shirts, but also bags and stuff. I mean, really high quality stuff. I recommend it. I shop there. And I was really pumped when they reached out to us and were like, hey, are you guys interested in getting some stuff? And I was like, hell yeah, swag. So definitely check that out. If you have not, you can get there via the acquire loot button on the site. Speaking of other singing things, we would like to have Sindel Pelion do a duet of a new parody that we wrote. Me and her wrote together. But she cannot be here, at least right now. We might be able to get her in by the end of the broadcast, but if not, I guarantee you a brand new EVE parody by Sindel Pelion with Alexei of Card coming up at the latest within the next week. All right, Jimmer, you're good to go?
I am, yes. Sorry about that.
Hit it.
Ring, 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 pandemic phone. Ring, 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 pandemic phone. I've got a feeling you'll be kneeling. Prepare your ass for the pain, pain. Ring, 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 pandemic phone. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding, dynamic phone. They fly in bunches, won't pull the punches. They're the best, spank the rest. Forum crack, vent, hack, peel on attack. Ring, 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 pandemic phone. Herp-a-derp-a-derp-a-derp. Ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping, pandemic phone. They're no baloney if the rep ain't a phony. My scamular, pandemular phone. Don't need quarters, don't need dimes to convo a friend of mine. Don't need skills for PvP to have have a real good time. I'll call for Fist. I'll call for Cat. I'll call for Supers. Eat some caps. Go make the call from around the verse. Operator, get me Shadow Doo 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 Doo. Yeah. Pandemic phone. Herba-derba-derba-derp. Yin-yang, 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 yin. Yendemic phone. It's a real-life mama and titan phone. A blobber and a scammer and a hacker phone. A straight fight phone and a tourney phone too. Oh yeah, my ponyular pandemular phone. Pandemic phone. Ring, ring, ring. It's a phone with a legion. Pandemic phone, ring, ring, ring. Now you can have your phone in ship toast too. Pandemic phone, ring, ring, ring. This song drives me bananas. Pandemic phone, ring, ring, ring.
Woo! All right.
That was awesome.
I inhaled some spit about the second verse. I don't know if you heard me. I was like, I got the second line out. Oh, that was fun. Thank you.
You still got it, Jimmer.
Ah, good, good. I'm glad it came through. I was hearing crackling on my end. It sounded all right to you guys?
Yeah, I think it sounded pretty good.
It's probably just the space-time ripping at the voice of an angel.
Jimmer's panties just dropped.
Yeah, like I ever had them, right? They're always dropped. They're around my ankles when I get out of bed.
Oh, wow. My.
Oh, all right,
unfortunately,
my.
We only have Jimmer for another, 10 minutes, I think? So, let's go.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I'm so sorry.
Well, that's all right. We're glad to have you for as long as you did, but let's move immediately into our next segment, which I absolutely need Jimmer for. We're going to do dramatic reading. We used to do dramatic readings all the time, and we're bringing it back for this, and hopefully we'll try to get a few more in as well. As a CSM, I just came off my term, I get mail from all kinds of people. Frankly, some of you people are terrible. You're just awful.
Why are you so bad at this game?
Exactly. And, you know, you're an elected representative, and you have to treat everyone's opinions with respect and aplomb. But sometimes, your player base is just so obstinate and insistent about something just ridiculous that it's worthy of memory. And in this case, I got this mail on one of the last remaining days of my term. A player very concerned about the new Amar battleship rebalancing and the fact that they're losing some capacitor. So, and also context, this is well after the post where Fozzie and Rise said that they would be changing fittings and cap use for large pulse lasers and beam lasers to make them easier to fit and less cap to use. So here we go. Jimmer, just make up a name for this dude. What do you want to call him? Anonymous Elephant?
Sure. Anonymous Elephant works.
All right.
From Anonymous Elephant to Alexei of Card. Think we could get it onto the CSM plate to look into these issues? I've been trying to be active on the MRBS thread and suggesting reasonable alternatives and all for it, but CCP is pretty much ignoring it. And just every couple of weeks throwing out platitudes that they're reading it without any actual feedback.
From Alexei of Card to Anonymous Elephant. Would that be other than the massive cap use reduction they're giving BS class lasers in the Odyssey patch? CSM delivers in advance, and I link the thread where Rise talks about it.
From Anonymous Elephant to Alexei of Card. It helps the APOC to get where it needs to be, but the Abaddon is still not where it needs to be. I started out running L4 missions in a Harbinger and waited till I had proper skills to fly the Abaddon to do them properly. And even with my now obviously better skill levels and implants and all, the Abaddon with the nerf to resist is stuck going back to using active hardeners to fix the loss of that, which actually makes it use a bit more cap overall post-change than pre-change. I'd also be more than happy to discuss in convo or even over voice comms of any sort, in-game or TS3, mumble, or vent.
From Alexiv Card to Anonymous Elephant. I'm pretty sure the cap versus tank thing is the kind of trade-off CCP's Fozzie and Rise wanted people to make with ships like the Abaddon. The Abaddon isn't really the PvE ship for the Amar anyway. At least since they changed the ship bonuses around, I think if you try the Armageddon, you'll be much happier with its cap efficiency.
To Alexiev Card. The Abaddon, though, has always been the premier laser PvE boat, but any ship having to give up 7 slots and rigs for cap stability just to use its weapons in a single rep is definitely backwards.
From Alexiev Card to Anonymous Elephant. I don't think the Abaddon has ever been the premier PvE boat. It's the Amara fleet battleship. Most players don't run repairs on it at all, and they use cap boosters to run the guns in PvP. The APOC has its uses, but the Geddon has been the go-to laser PvE battleship because of the cap efficiency and larger drone bay. I can definitely tell you that after the patch I expect that to change, with the Geddon getting a Newton drone bonus, but the APOC is getting more tracking, which combined with its range will make it probably the best of the three for PvE applications.
From Anonymous Elephant to Alexei of Card. But those same cap issues are why the predominant Abaddon fit for PvP is with Artis, so they can ignore the cap issues and make use of those 8 turret slots with impunity.
From Lexiv Card to Anonymous Elephant. Well, that's certainly a fit, but it's hardly the fit. The Pandemic Legion Hellcat version uses Mega Pulse lasers supported by 2 heatsinks and 2 tracking computers, and it's an equally viable fit and widely considered standard in many PvP circles. The laser cap use problem is getting looked at in general. I don't think you wish that the Abaddon maintains its premier spot as the PvE ship without any trade-offs in fitting is gonna go with CCP's vision of the MRBS line.
From Anonymous Elephant to Alexei of Card. And that I can accept overall, just going off of my own experiences and the myriad posts to the MRBS thread. After ignoring the raw rage rants and the trolls, everyone agrees that this is some pretty bad juju.
From Alexiv Card to Anonymous Elephant. I'm not 100% behind the BS changes either, but I'm not too worried about the Abaddon's 1% resist nerf. All the resist ships are getting hit by it equally, and it's just the design decision CCP is making to balance out the resist bonus versus other ship bonuses. It makes sense, and everyone will have to make adjustments equally. The laser changes will address enough problems that I'm willing to let it go and see how players adapt in the wild. Fozzie and Rise are pretty good at going back and making tweaks to get it right before moving on. That'll be CSM8's problem, though.
From Anonymous Elephant to Alexei of Card. Oh, crap, my bad. I didn't realize that they hadn't transferred the CSM tags on the forums over yet. Ha! Mind throwing me the list of names for them again?
From Alexei of Card to Anonymous Elephant. Well, that's because the new CSM isn't in office yet, but here's the election results, and I link them.
From Anonymous Elephant to Alexei of Card. Yeah, I ended up eventually finding it on my own, and did contact them about it, and rapidly got brushed off for my concerns being inconsequential.
My response to him? I told you. But my response inside? The system works! Oh dear.
What am I supposed to do with this? Should I read it? I'm sorry.
No. I'll just tell the story after that. So I linked all this stuff to the Eve podcast channel, and we all had a good laugh over it. But I, of course, removed the person's name, so people didn't harass him. And a couple people, particularly Harrigan, was like, Why'd you edit that, man? Name and shame. Come on. Aren't you supposed to be transparent? And I was like, oh, man, I am supposed to be transparent, but I don't know, man. And I tweeted out like a joke tweet about how I was covering up the names of people that were sending complaints to the CSM and how I was like involved in a conspiracy about it. And literally within 60 seconds, tops, may have been quite considerably less, Poetic Stanzel tweeted back to me, why are you only telling us this now? Shouldn't you have told us this on day one?
Yeah, that's pretty funny. It's like, if you want to get him to respond, you can do so, like, within 60 seconds. Like, if you put the right thing on Tweetfeely, like, he's there.
And I played him on, like, I would give him the inside scoop and the chat logs from the pod channel and all that stuff if, like, he would write a blog post about it. Like, after I initially got him to bite, my goal was to try to get him to write a blog about it, but he never did. But I had him going for, like, a good half hour. It's pretty great. I, of course, clued him in at the end. I was messing with him, but I didn't even intend for that to be, like, a thing. But when he hopped on it so quickly, I could not resist. Oh, my gosh. All right, Jimmer. It was an absolute pleasure having you on. Hang out for as long as you can, but I want to introduce another guest. Someone just joined the TeamSpeak during our last segment. Another former host of Declarations of War, the very British and very loved AlexG567.
Thank you. I'm not British, though.
What?
I'm Scottish, not British.
Scottish.
Get it right.
It's all the
Get
same.
Get it right.
It's all the Whoa, same. Ho, ho, ho,
ho. I'd be careful where you go there. It's not all the same.
I don't know. I kind of think that they lost a few wars or something. Cause,
Yeah, they won a couple, too.
No.
Hey, before we go running into the next segment, I want to say I'm going to have to leave in just a couple minutes, so when I do go, it'll be quietly, but I just want to say out loud right now, thank you for having me back, and I hope to come back again in the future, because it is so good to be back and to talk to all you people and to have so much fun. So thank you, Alex, and thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you, Jimmer.
Anytime, Jimmer. Thanks, man.
Bye, Jimmer.
All right, so Alex, what song are you going to sing?
As I said,
you can't be outdone by Jim.
I am not singing. Yeah, exactly, so I'm not going to bother singing.
How have you been, my friend? How has been your Eve career after Declarations of War? What have you been up to? How have you been? What's going on?
My Eve career has taken a definite downward spiral since leaving NOR, which I did not long after stopping doing stuff in the podcast.
You went on break, though, huh?
Yeah, I went for a break for a bit, and then I sort of came back and went off and joined Losec PvP Corp. I've been rolling with them. Losec and 00.
Can always come back.
Yeah.
I could always, but I don't want to.
Turn down the covers with mint on the pillow.
We could use the extra 30% Scottish in the podcast.
You could always use more Scottish in the podcast. You've got two other Scots in Corp. Use them.
We do have a lot of Scots, but you can never really have enough. No. They're like throw pillows. They just brighten up the room.
Blankets and such.
So, Alex, looking back on your time in Eve, and this is, of course, our 50th episode, comes at a time when Eve is celebrating its 10th anniversary. What would you say is one of your favorite memories or favorite events from the past 10 years of EVE?
Favorite memories? There's got to be quite a few. I remember, this is going to be a wee while back, invading Anirion 00 with the first corp I was in. That was great fun.
What region?
We were invading Wicked Creek. It was with an alliance called Scorched Earth. They were terrible back then. And I was with a corp that no longer exists, it's dead. But yeah, that was good fun. And it felt just like you were in some sort of science fiction movie, you know, you were being dropped into the system, you had to save up. It felt great. Then the next memories I've got are probably from within Noir, actually. First up with Noir, Lodgy Loving with Kat. Good times.
I miss Kat.
Yeah, what I do too.
She still combos me.
She's still flying around the world, having sex with hot airmen.
Yeah. Running awesome. her own freight business or something like that, I think, now.
Is she really?
Well, she's... The guy runs it, but, you know, she's got her claws into him.
Well done, lass. Well done.
And then, since then, probably the stuff I'm doing just now. It's been pretty good.
Where are you active around? What regions?
All regions. There's no set spaces. Going and breaking up gate camps, that sort of thing.
Ah, right on. It's like an anti-pirate kind of thing?
Yep, pretty much. I've crashed into one of our old people from Noir, Pinky, a few times.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. It's cool to see that whole, like, anti-piracy thing up as low-sec PvP starts to develop and grow. Like, that is kind of like the counter to it, you know? And it's cool to see that grow along with it. It's a whole new dimension of not having to give a fuck about your sex status.
Although, yeah, I have to say...
Oh, go ahead, Alex.
I have to say, since doing that, though, my sex status has plummeted. Because being anti-pirate means you still do want to fight people who don't want to go pirate. And, yeah, you're still shooting on the gate.
Yeah, I suppose.
I've got a big place in my heart for anti-pirates, because that's how I got my PvP start. My first major PvP engagement was against the Turbulence, I think they were called. A major low-sec pirate corp in Placid way back in the day. And, I obviously didn't know what I was doing, but I was trying to follow, like, the older members in my corp and, you know, learn from them. And I was in frigates first, and I'll never forget, like, the one time that I decided to solo something. I was in a Catalyst. I had just learned to fly it. I was like, yeah, Catalyst, rah, destroyer, I'm gonna kill every frigate I see, rah. And sure enough, there's this pirate, I think it was a pirate interceptor, like a Tyrannus, on the gate. I was like, it's a frigate, I'm a destroyer, I'm gonna own this guy. This is gonna be great, everybody's gonna, like, be all proud of me that I killed this pirate by myself. So I aggressed it, and got my ass kicked. I didn't know about, like, webbing and stuff, and this was back before the speed nerfs. There was no scrambler, really. So I couldn't really even track him that well. And his Tyrannus just cut right through me because I didn't have a decent tank either. I didn't know what I was doing at the time. And, I felt pretty humiliated having died in a destroyer to an interceptor. But from there, you know, I got better, and eventually I was baiting pirates and belts and getting them to come in on me while I was ratting, but I really had a PvP fit. I would turn around and try to fight them. We would roam around and break up camps and just get all the well wishes from people around the internets. It was cool. Turtle, you X'd up for a story. What's up?
Yeah, I figured if we were telling story time, I think that one of the best parts about the game for me, it's really this, when the story kind of turns into something that happens over time rather than just one incident you can peg back to. I started playing back in late 2003, back when character creation was much more, hit or miss, maybe? So I rolled a couple times, you know, I had a few new characters before I finally settled on Turtle, and I ended up going through a couple corps before I got into a group of friends that ended up being a group of friends that I've kept for almost 10 years now, and we've played the game together various ways, you know, people that you've met in real life and hung out with in real life and turn out to be good friends, and it's when the story extends like that, I think that's the real, not to sound sappy, but like the real power of it, you know? So, but anyways, the one point in time I think there was a highlight for that group of friends and I, we were in an alliance called Maelstrom Alliance, which was back probably late 2006, early 2007, and back when building a station was like a huge deal, super expensive, it was probably like the most expensive thing you could do in the game, one of them anyways. So we were like, fuck yeah, let's do this. We were kind of a small alliance, we wanted to put our name on the map. And so we all banded together, pooled everything we could, and bought the egg. planted a station out in iTech NG out in Nemensia, which I'm pretty sure is still there. And we had it for a while, had it for a couple weeks, and then just this angry ass swarm of Russians showed up. Like, just mad. Red Alliance, when they were, well, they are still big, but when they were like a super big powerhouse. Guys like Interstellar Alcohol Conglomerate, IAC. This is back when ISS was still a functional entity. You know, you had ISS stations out in the middle of all of this. And what's up?
I miss ISS, I just wanted to say.
I do too.
It was a cool idea.
It was, and it was a functional idea. It worked, you know, at that level because you didn't really have the turnover of stations like you do now. It was a whole different system, a system in which ISS could actually work. And big shout out to IAC. I love those guys. They were fun. But so we had this station for like 2 weeks before this angry swarm of Russians showed up, and they just hell camped us into the station, turned the station, just took it pretty much. I mean, you couldn't fight them. It was a 3-1 or 4-1 fight or something. And but it was, we walked away from it like happy in a way, because we had actually put it down, and even though it was in somebody else's hands, like, it was still there. Like, you could still look to it and be like, oh man, we built that station out, you know, way back when.
That's cool. That was one thing that I've never done in my EVE career, and, you know, looking forward, I just don't, unless they add in destructible stations, it's probably not something I'm ever going to do, is be able to build a 0-0 station. I always wanted to manage one, and that I did, I was able to do that in Providence, thanks to, Manny from AAA.
Didn't you own one?
Yeah, I own two. Three, actually.
Check you. Check you.
I own two on behalf of NAR, and I owned one personally. That was pretty cool. It's, all too brief, unfortunately.
The other major story that runs in my head is my first stop with NAR, actually. My sec was like -9.7 when I first wanted to apply, so I had to fix that. And it took a while, you know, ninja ratting out, staying with a bomber, chaining like that. And I finally did it after a couple months, or about a month, got it back fixed, and got a NAR, posted up on my first op, and was like, fuck yes, I'm gonna be there. Went and turned my computer on for that night, my motherboard fried, like, just right then. I was like, oh man, it's pretty sad. Couldn't make that up. But I persevered.
That's awful.
And here I am today. Still hanging out with this asshole.
Thanks. Speaking of other assholes, we're asking people in our live studio audience for their favorite memories of the past 10 years of EVE. And we want to bring Miss Lum onto the podcast right now to give his story.
Okay, mine has to be my first PvP experience, and it taught me why people don't use missiles normally during combat. Which is basically, we get war decked in Empire because we're a mining corp. One of our guys has ended up missioning, taking something from somebody's can or something or other. So, of course, we end up with one big fight at 10 on 10 or something, and I'm there in a cruise missile Raven, sat 160k off the fleet. And so, basically, I'm getting weeded up by the AC because the old primary is taking damage because I've got three lots of cruise missiles in the air yet. Yet he's trying to get all the damage onto the primary, and it taught me why to actually train for guns instead of missiles.
Now, with that said, what do you think about the new cruise missiles? Do you think that they're going to be viable in PvP?
I think they'll be viable up until a point. I think going out past probably about 100k is going to push it a bit too much, because again, you're still going to have a lot of missiles in the air, and it's going to cause great fun for Logi, etc., but also still have the delayed aid effect of the flight times.
The one time I have seen missiles used well with that is actually on an R-up, and we were hitting someone in a They were in ships and they were retreating back inside a tower, and we were hitting the tower, and someone had brought along a raven. And the raven was able to hit the ship still because he'd already launched his weapons, and actually killed the ship because it went back inside the shields, and the raven's missile still hit.
I remember that. It was, oh god, what was it? We killed,
It was a tower we were to hit, and it was in, like, the final stages or something like that, and the shield was still up, and we, yeah, there was, like, they had defenders out for it, and... Yeah, we just had to kill this guy who'd come at the shields.
It was
and
a
they even got the kill on
kill, like a faction of a basilisk or something. It wound up being like 200 mil.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. For one time, Raven's are actually good at PvP.
Yeah, I've seen Phoenixes used for exactly the same purpose with supers and things. Because, again, missiles travel through pulse shields.
There is really nothing more disappointing than being in a larger fleet engagement like that and watching your missiles have to track that distance if you're any sort of like 100k plus away. And just having to watch them go and go, and then the guy warps off, and then they all just kind of go different directions, and you're like, fuck. Should have trained for guns.
I know Xavier always hates being in his Widow for that exact same reason, because he doesn't normally pack E-War, so he's occasionally, if he drops it, he doesn't get on the kill map.
Well, I'll say that the missile problem in PvP sort of goes away if you field a fleet of just missile users. Then there's like, there's no turret DPS that's gonna kill your primary target ahead of time. You just wait a couple seconds for all the DPS to land. That was basically the mechanics of the Tengu fleets and the Drake fleets. And they worked out pretty well. I think we might see something similar with the new cruise missiles. Maybe Ravens, but it could be the new Navy Scorp. So, thanks for the story, Lum. We're going to bring on somebody else, Kingblade. Kingblade is a very old member of NAR, and hopefully he's got a good one here.
Well, just kind of brought me back talking about missiles to as long as I've been playing EVE. I've been playing EVE since 2000 and... I want to say 2003. So I've seen the game progress from its infancy stages to through the nano age, through the nano nerfs, through what it is today. And I just remember, and it's a story I've told all the time, is I remember my first PvP kill. I was in a Raven with 200 MN micro warp drives and torpedoes. Back when torpedoes would, had the explosion radius, and it was my first PvP kill as a pirate. They were teaching us how to set up at 650 meters and start your two MWDs, lock your target, and start shooting torps at him. Well, by the time you closed on him, you know, once you got into locking range and you closed on him, they just exploded. And we used to go through Geddon fleets with Ravens, so. Yes, that was probably my most... That was my first experience of PvP, and that's what got me long in the tooth for it, because it was just absolutely amazing.
I like how you preface the whole concept by explaining the explosion radius thing with the torpedoes, not the fact that you could still run two prop mods at the same time.
Hey man, it was great having a 4500 MS Raven chasing down interceptors.
This was really like the Wild West days of fitting. I mean, there were no clear distinctions made
for damage mods.
Yeah, I mean, it was really the infancy, and it was fun in a way because it really it forced creativity in a lot of ways. And as they kind of made things more specific, you stifled some of that out. But it's cool to have rules at the same time, because that was really like the Wild Wild West.
Well, what I liked about it though is that there was no meta. Is it nowadays you have everything is the meta? Because if you don't fall within the meta, your fleet is substandard. Your ship is substandard. Back in those days, it was, you want to throw guns on a Raven? You can, because it's there, and it's something new. It's something different. There wasn't so much rigidness in fitting.
Does that Kestrel have rockets, or does it have cruise launchers? Like, you never knew.
Exactly.
will say, though, that going against the meta does work.
It does on occasion. Sometimes you'll see that with the Battle Vigil on a lot of PvP videos.
Well, that's how we break up pirate gate camps, is by going against the meta.
Ah, well, explain to the audience what you're talking about.
Things like, well, there was the RR Vexers that we did, which was remote repair Vexers with a Celestis. That was with a group of about 6 people. And so each Vexer has 2 large remote repairs, I know, 2 medium remote repairs, and the cap booster, and it just runs that on an end of, and an afterburner with the Celestis in with a gang. And you can pretty much damp out Logi or Falcons if they come on the field, and you can kill anything else. The Vexers have terrible DPS, but no one expected it, because the meta was all about fast, kitey things.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
It seems like a kind of like a play at the old remote rep dom, but maybe a much more small, mobile concept of it, and damps definitely are against the meta. We have good luck using damps too, because nobody sees that Celestis coming, man.
Yeah, I'm happy that damps have made a comeback. Like, they used to be the most powerful electronic warfare in EVE, hands down. Like, when I started, damps were king. And then they got nerfed, and then it became all about the Falcon for the longest time. And then it feels like only recently that they're finally starting to be balanced out, and maybe in some ways ECM is now no longer the premier. I mean, it still has the most powerful effect, but with the new skills making it harder to jam people, it's just less and less reliable.
Yeah.
Alright, King. Well, thank you very much. We're asking for anybody else that's got a story that they want to say, or a song that they want to sing. We take songs all throughout the cast. Alright, let's see. Repi K, do you think we can get you on mic, my friend? We got Repi K here in the chat room. He's the CEO of Merc Contracts Mercenary Corp. In fact, the only Merc Contracts Mercenary Corp to show up, so this being the premier mercenary podcast. Repi, what do you say? Say a few words here. You're on the mic.
Yes, what do we want? A song or a story?
Can you give us a song?
You
can sing in French. I'll allow it.
Aren't you singing for Louis Ricochet?
No, I don't know the lyrics, sorry. Actually, not many French people know the new lyrics.
Really? Well,
that needs to be fixed.
I disagree with you there, Alex G. I think the French people have suffered enough over the years. We don't need to inflict Moulin Rouge upon them. But, Repi, why don't you tell... use the opportunity to plug your corp. How about that?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but my corp is not actually active.
Really?
No, I'm in LoSec, killing pods and retrievers.
That's a terrible waste.
I want to have sex with your accent, dude. It's so gorgeous.
Oh my.
Keep talking. Don't stop.
And what could I say? Maybe I just found out a little story I had. 2 years ago, I got a null sac contract. Yes, just like Noirdot. The goal was just to get in 00 and catch a capital ship from the CO. Some kind of assassination. So I had the blues in the era with a Titan. So I spent 2 weeks trying to catch him in an anomaly. One day, I spot a freighter convoy from starting from ISEC. So I was I was very happy about it, and I follow it until the Losec border. Then at this point, I try to make friends with some Losec pirates. I didn't know them before, but when I told them I could give them a fighter kill, they were very happy to get me in the fleet. So we made a camp gate, and we wait. The fighter only had 8 jumps to make in Losec, so it was just a few minutes. We wait, and nothing happened. Then my new friends told me that I was scamming them or something. So I run a locator on the fighter pilot. To my surprise, I discovered that he was sitting in Jita 44. I refresh F-kill, and it happens that some other pirates, just ganked them 2 jumps before us. Anyway, I got paid for the contract.
Huh. Well, that worked out. It would have been nice to get on that kill mail, though.
Yes, sometimes you don't get to the kill mails.
Sometimes speak again.
You're not always on the kill mail.
Sometimes it's about the experience.
Yes.
Well, thanks for the story, Reppy. Appreciate that. Do you have a song ready, or do you want us to come back to you?
No, I think that's enough.
Alright. Every pony sings.
It's starting to feel like a slow karaoke bar in here.
It is. Okay, so what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys a preview of the song that I'm going to sing with Sindel, and we're going to get it properly recorded later this week, I think, probably around Wednesday, Thursday. But I can try to do both parts myself, just because it's a really good song and I really want to get it on this cast. And then after that, we've got a very important look at market speculation and price changes with Odyssey that will be presented to you by Ghost from True Capitalist Radio. Or at least my impersonation of Ghost from True Capitalist Radio. Let's get this song going. So the song is Find a Pet. Let's see if I can get the instrumental here. Yes, here we go. Putting in the TeamSpeak now.
I will say I really do like this song, too.
There we go. Now, Rainbow, my dear, I cannot express my delight. It's abundantly clear that somewhere out here is the pet that will suit you just right. I can't wait to get started, but first let me set a few rules. It's of utmost importance the pet that I get is someone that's awesome and cool. Awesome, cool, got it. I have so many wonderful choices, just wait, you will see. I need something that fleets up like a bullet to keep up with me. Sure, how about space monkeys? They're cutesy and wootsy and quick as can be. Cutesy, wootsy? Have you even met me? Rainbow, have faith. You see, I will bet you somewhere in Eve is a pet that will get you. Come on, T3's the limit. T3 is good. I'd like them to PvP. Really? Because I think this little Babylon dot dot has your name written all over it. Yes, he does. Aw, look, they like you. Pass. I have so many wonderful choices for you to decide. There's Rain and EXE with so much to see. Rain and EXE do not fight. Maybe not, but I've seen this particular executive outcomes breach 10 pilots during CTAs. That's it. I'm out of here. Wait, there must be a pet here that will fit the ticket. How about Trifectus or Legion of X-Death? Bigger and cooler. Bigger, cooler, right. I've got just the thing in a tree. Dash, meet your nebulous pet, LI3. I've just lost an Eve. It's not just any lost an Eve. an entire alliance have lost an Eve. Yeah, so like I was saying, Fluttershy pal, this won't cut it. I need a pet to keep up with me. Something awesome. Tech 3 flying with coolness that defies their SP. I'm sensing you want an alliance that can fight. You think? I have plenty for wonderful pilots who soar in the sky. Like Sweet Wall Trapers or Federation of Uli. Better, but cooler. I see. How about a Volt, or Unclaimed, or a Pengu? There's so many wonderful nerds the likes of that. There are initiatives in Fatal Ascension that are worth quite a mention. Or perhaps what you need is a dark and mysterious Alt Alliance. Now you're talking. But instead of just one standout, that's too many. So many choices, and such riches aplenty. Not a bad problem to have, if you ask me. The alts will be awesome, but Unclaimed I'm digging too. Do you have something in an Unclaimed alt? No. I've got to have Pink Gentleman's agreement. Just dying to meet you. What to do? What to do? A prize! That's it! There's really just one way to find out which alliance is best. Hold a contest of SP, stability, and guts that will put each pet to the test. Don't forget style, that should be considered. Then we'll know for sure who's best of the litter. The one who is awesome and cool, just like me. Can't settle for less, cause I'm the best, so a contest we will see. Who's the number one greatest, perfectest pet in the world for me? May the games begin. And may the best pet win. That was hard to do. Both parts at the same time. Oh my god, my lungs.
Wow.
Yes. So we'll get a proper song with both of us on it, an actual backing track. And it will be fantastic. Yes, your lungs are your ears, my lungs. Whatever, Victoria. We're all sacrificing organs for this. Don't need to be a pussy about it.
Okay. Has Victoria sung anything yet?
Huh?
Has Victoria sung anything yet? I feel that could be quite good.
Victoria has not. He has been linking songs constantly. Victoria, how about we get a song out of you, bro? Shit, Mike? Likely story.
Turn it on. We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see what you got, Victoria.
How's that going?
That sounds fine. It sounds like you don't have an excuse.
I'll sing it.
Alright, awesome.
Hold your key down a little longer. Don't pretend like you don't know how to be on comms.
No, give me just...
Sounds like Ferris Bueller coughing when he's sick. Doesn't want to go to school.
Tape recording?
Oh, mommy, just can't do it. I can't sing. Oh, it's so horrible. I've got a fever and I'm coughing. Oh, no.
Here, you ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Bring it on. You have to actually push the push-to-talk button.
Now I've had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's the truth. And I owe it all to you. Cause I've had the time of my life. And I owe it all to you. I've been waiting for so long now, I've never finally found someone to stand by me. I I don't know this part of the song.
All right, just sing.
Now with passion in our eyes, there's no way we could disguise it secretly. So we take each other's hand, cause we seem to understand the urgency. Just remember, you're the one thing I can't get enough of. So I'll tell you something. This could be love, because I've had the time of my life. No, I've never felt like this way before. Yes, I swear, it's the truth, and I owe it all to you. Hey, baby. With my body and my soul, I want you more than you will ever know. So we'll just let it go. Don't be afraid to lose control. Yes, I know what's on your mind when you say stay with me tonight. Stay with me. You're the one thing I can't get enough of. So I'll tell you something. This could be love. Time of my life. No, I've never felt this way before. Yes, I swear it's the truth, and I owe it all to you, cause I've had the time of my life. And I've searched through every open door till I found the truth. I owe it all to you.
That is awesome.
Wow, that was great. Meanwhile, he dragged everybody in Corp up on TS into the studio so they could all hear it.
Local Spike. Thank you, Victoria. That was memorable.
And gave us a bit of a brainstorm, too.
Yeah. So, you don't have to be good, you just have to have la passion. Alright, we are going to do a little overview of the markets. We're going to do the markets here. We've had a lot of resource rebalancing coming up in Odyssey, courtesy of the CCP-CSM collaboration on the Odyssey themes. Resource rebalance became a priority, and pretty much everybody's happy about it. I think it's going to be fairly interesting. But, you know, it's also a time of flux. You know, people are speculating. They're speculating out there, and everything's getting shaken up. And to bring you the markets, blogtalkradio.com/ghost. Ghost of True Capitalist Radio has been a staple of this corp's humor for quite a while now. And in tribute to him, I am going to do my best ghost impersonation.
Did you ever get that recording of the ghost room?
No, I did an entire room as Ghost from True Capitalist Radio, calling targets and giving scouting orders, everything.
That was a pretty epic time.
But the motherfucker that had the recording never gave it to me, and then wound up trying to steal from Kingblade, who we heard from earlier in the podcast. And when we forcibly took that money back by not infiltrating, but we already had alts in one of his alt corps that he neglected to remove after he left with King's money, and we took King's money back. And he did not appreciate that, and I would expect that the ghost room is pretty much lost to the ether by now.
To finish the story, he did then, like, get his own back on us.
Yeah.
Again.
He top-dropped the... He got a faction.
He killed my carrier.
Top-dropped some carriers on us. you know. But he still didn't get his money back.
Ghost, right, so I just filled up my tub with gravy. Let's swim around in it in like a couple of ham bones. Oh my.
Is this the tub guy, for Christ's sake?
You damn right. You should come over here and join me. It'll be totally legit.
Oh, yeah. Sick bastard. You know, there is something wrong when other grown men are listening to you, to your broadcast in the tub. Probably sticking a couple of fingers up your shit funnel. Alright, so here we go. Just give me one sec.
Do you have a pile of Coke cans? Alec, do you have Coke cans ready to rattle?
I have a can, it's gonna have to do. Feels a little lonely though.
I have six if you want me to.
Do you have some?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. First off, we're gonna do the markets here. Let's get into the markets. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of speculation. Speculation in advance of these Odyssey changes that CCP is putting in. They're rebalancing ice, they're rebalancing ore, they're rebalancing moons. I mean, how about a little consistency, CCP, huh? Yeah, they're taking away technetium and putting the ISK value back into R64s. Isn't that convenient? Anyway, we've got we're doing ice products right now. We've got clear icicle. Prices are nearly doubled, up from 100k to over 200,000 per unit. That is a percentage increase of 100 goddamn percent. I'm telling you, if you were doing clear icicle investment right now, you are balling this Sunday, my friend. Helium isotopes also doubling from nearly 350 ISK a unit to nearly 700 ISK a unit. Percentage increase of just under 100%. I mean, these ice isotopes, they're just going crazy. They're just going crazy with all the speculation. Hydrogen isotopes also doubling. Liquid ozone was 370, now 530, a percentage increase of 43% on the month. I mean, good God. Good God. Nitrogen isotopes have more than doubled. Oxygen isotopes are now at 730, a percentage increase of 82%. And I gotta tell you, I prognosticated this from patch day. When they announced that the Odyssey features at FanFest, yours truly did say that ice was going to spike. And what is it going to do? It's spiking right now, baby. And you better be... I mean, if you were listening to this broadcast, you should have been entertaining those plays. Buy orders, sell orders, having physical oxygen isotopes. You should have been entertaining these plays and riding that wave, baby. Just ride that wave, all right? And if you didn't, well, tough titty. Carrier prices. We've got Archons are rolling in at 1.65 billion per unit, a percentage increase of 14%. Chimeras are selling off today. We've got prices down 13% to 1.15 billion per Chimera. And the Thanatos up modestly, 1.35 billion, a percentage increase of 7%. Moving into moon minerals, fermionic condensates up 33%, up 10k to 43k, percentage increase of 33%. Platinum Technite, we're seeing massive decrease in Platinum Technite. They're selling off, man. I don't know what to tell you. These investors are selling off. We've got, they went from 41k down to 25k, a percentage decrease of 44%. I mean, Good God. If you're investing in Technetium right now, you took it in the teeth, let me tell you. Ferrogel, increase of 13k to 24k per unit, percentage increase of 118%, but what we're seeing is reduced volume. Reduced volume, and what does that mean? That means that there's not a lot of players in this particular market. So any kind of patch node or POS takedown, a 0-0 region comes in to be invaded with some kind of military theater, and you've got these speculators and these pussy-whipped investors. They're gonna push it up. They're gonna push it down. They've got no consistency, for Christ's sake. There's no fundamentals here in the market. I mean, it pisses me off, man. It pisses me off. All right, you've got all these other moon products. They're going up. They're going down. And this one's going down over 118 goddamn percent. I mean, Jesus Christ! It's going down, for Christ's sake. I mean, what is that? What is this crap? Ugh. Anyway, folks, moving on to ore prices, we've got unrefined Arcanore. At increase of 700,000 ISK, that's a percentage increase of 14%. Crocite ore up a whopping 42% to 3.7k a unit, and that's I can't explain that one. It's got to be some speculation, okay? I mean, crocite ore is not necessarily the most valuable ore out there, but I mean, clearly people are into it. People are into this crocite ore. They're thinking that it's going to be a big deal after the patch. I am not convinced. Gneiss. Now this, Gneiss, I am very bullish on Gneiss. I am very bullish on Gneiss. And just like I had prognosticated, it has gone way up. Way up. From a mere 500 a unit to over 10,000 a unit, a percentage increase, I mean, good God, a percentage increase of 1,900%. And let me tell you that I have diversified into this particular commodity, and I mean, it's all about the love of the money, baby. Investing in some Gneiss, drinking some Johnny Walker Blue Label. Oh yeah. Here on a baller Sunday. Now, Tritanium is dropping today. I mean, where's the bottom on Tritanium? Where's the bottom here? A decrease of 0.6 ISK, a 10% per unit decrease, and then it bounced right back up. It bounced right back up, for Christ's sake. So what I think you're seeing is people selling profits, but mark my words, the next 6 to 10 months, I think we're going to see Tritanium go down. I think we're going to see it go down. I think we're going to see it go way down. I do not see a bottom to this particular mineral. I do not see a bottom. Oh, Jesus Christ, Amara Fuel Blocks. Look, let me tell you people something, okay? Let me tell you people something. I don't use fuel blocks, alright? I don't need them. Okay? I don't fuel a POS, you milky lickers. And oh, here they go in the chat room saying that I should go back to WoW because I'm not running a POS. Look, you idiots. POS aren't even core gameplay of EVE! Just run by some Care Bears in HiSec and some pathetic finger spanker out in 0-0, some fuel bitch. Let me tell you this right goddamn now, I am nobody's fuel bitch. Alright, I don't need POS, I don't need fuel, I'm fueled by the pissing fury here in my heart. But I realize there are capitalists out there that are investing in these particular commodities, and they want to know what's going on with the markets, so we've got fuel blocks. As you might expect, with ice prices going up, the fuel block prices are going to go up. Ice prices go up, fuel block prices going up. And what did we see? That is exactly what we saw. We had Amar fuel blocks go up to 21.5k, a percentage increase of 79%. Kaldari fuel blocks up to 18k, a percentage increase of 33%. Galenti fuel blocks up to a percentage increase of 48%. And Mimitar fuel blocks, for all my EVE players in the hood, swiping and collecting EBTs, it is up to 19k, a percentage increase of 46%. And that, my friends, is the markets for your ass. Woo! Yeah, let me take some callers here. Ninja Turtle, you're on the air.
Have you, like, never seen the show before? Dude doesn't know people's names.
Well, unfortunately for you, jerk dick, you don't have
Ghost.
An area code, so you're pretty much like a Skype caller, and you also sound like a pathetic fruit. So, you just
Ghost,
have
let's
fruity.
Have a three-way
you
with Rick
much
Perry.
Too fruity yeah. to be on this broadcast. Let me see, Tub Guy calling in. Jesus Christ.
Ghost, let's have a three-way with Karaskin while he eats out the Queen of England. It'll be totally legit. Oh my.
Leave Karaskin alone! Leave Karaskin alone! Alright? He's a pure soul. They got some idiot fapping over here. Hey, engineer, are there any other callers? Yeah, I too would like the real Ghost. Unfortunately, Ghost is no longer with us. He has consigned himself to Twitter and is no longer doing internet radio. Ghost, if you should happen to be hearing this broadcast, please come back to us. We need your capitalist guidance.
Now more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, we have a very special guest that just joined us, the newly elected Ali Aras. Granting her the talk power, Ali, what is up?
Not much. I just got done with Space Hangouts, in which we had a very heated discussion about capitalism and markets, actually, relevant
oh, really?
To what you were just saying.
Oh, well, why don't you enlighten us?
Someone was suggesting that the way that sort of barriers are put into that barriers on number of market orders be removed and barriers on trading in hubs be increased, and there was a lot of everyone else saying that if they wanted to see trade outside of hubs, then what they needed to do was invest and actually bring that in, and that if you couldn't trade in hubs without having a lot of money or a lot of skills, it would be a barrier to entry to new players. I, for one, started out doing a lot of trading. I would drive my little Iteron around HiSec and carry small quantities of goods from one place to the other for small quantities of money.
I did the very same, actually, but I used the Tristan. I mainly hold tobacco.
I don't think tobacco was still something that, like, the commodity goods were still something that you could haul when I was doing it. I think that they moved by the time I started, but
this is way back in the day when you had NPC sell orders and buy orders, so you could buy in one place from an NPC and sell in another place to an NPC and get money.
Yeah, I have heard of that day. It sounded a lot easier than going on EVE Central and hoping that nothing was a margin trading scam. Because there are a lot of... This is how I learned about the margin trading scam, is I'm like, this guy can't be quite so dumb as to be selling this 1 billion mod for 500 million when I could just flip it for a little bit more cash. And several people sat me down and said, no, he's not that dumb, you're dumb.
It's interesting to see the length they go to, too, because you sometimes you think, oh, I'll just hop over to the next region and see. Typically, like, that one item will be margin scammed, like, in every region you can find it in. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, I keep getting screwed over by that because I use an automated script to determine whether to sell or reprocess rat loot. And people margin trading scam on the stupidest of things, like random meta cap mods that drop off of Amar rats have a margin trading buy order for something stupidly ridiculous.
Nah. I thought I could be like a big market tycoon, but the market interface just doesn't do it for me. It's too much clicking.
Yeah, that and contracts are both RSI fountains.
RSI?
A repetitive stress injury. Like, the stuff that you get from doing the same thing over and over again. Like, if you're trying to sell 200 stacks of stuff on a market. How has your podcast anniversary been going so far? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. It's been eventful, I would say. Definitely a memorable evening.
Excellent.
How is your CS?
Are you in a good way or bad?
Well, that depends on your opinion of Victoria singing.
I will have you know I was going to try and write an Eve parody of a My Little Pony song, but I could not find... I got as far as My Little Loki, My Little Loki, and couldn't find enough rhymes for the rest of the intro song.
Oh, that's a shame. That would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Would you like to sing something more conventional? We had Victoria sing... I think the song's called Time of My Life, I assume.
I mean, I can do the intro to Carry On Wayward Son fairly.
Go for it.
Alright. Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So far, CSM8? Been fun, been interesting. We've only had one minor kerfuffle so far in the scanning interface tweak. Well, not tweaks, total rework. There was a lot of angry feedback on that we got to talk to CCP about. That was fun.
Can you say anything about where those discussions went as far as bringing the player feedback to them?
Yeah, mostly... I collected a lot of player feedback together, posted it on the internal forums, went back and forth a little bit. I know some of the feedback that we gave and some of the players gave as well did make it onto Sissy. For the probing feedback, a lot of that stuff got fixed. For the scanning overlay, the big one that a lot of people were saying, us as well as the players, was the ability to read the anomaly name in space, and that's now on Sissy. So you don't have to guess. You don't have to mouse over like 20 little thingies to find out which one is the Forlorn hub that someone is probably ratting at.
Excellent.
Which means you can shoot them quickly, efficiently, and... you know, hopefully successfully, assuming that they're not smart watching local and having scouts and passing up and all that stuff that people do who don't want to lose their spaceships.
Have you had much opportunity to do the new hacking minigame?
I haven't yet, and someone on the Hangout today was bringing it to my attention. I spent about 5 hours last week just bouncing around probing on Sissy, and the hacking minigame wasn't functional at that time, but now, you know, now it is. As I understand it, I'm gonna get on Sissy and try it out again. I know some people were complaining about quote-unquote loot bukkake. So
it does. It does. It goes everywhere.
For those that might not get the reference,
I don't think it needs to be explained.
It just Google it. It no
family
no problem.
Family friendly
yeah.
podcast. So the loot comes all over your face.
Pretty much is what I've heard.
It goes from the container like beyond your ship, like through your ship, pretty much. So if you're quick, you can catch most of it.
Yeah, I mean the intention obviously is to make it so that more than one people can be more than one person can benefit from doing a hacking site, and that's certainly I think a good goal. I have the hacking sites that I've done, or the not hacking the salvage sites, mag sites. Whenever I probe one down, there's always like that question: do I tell my alliance mates? Because if I do, then they're just going to come, and I'm going to have to share. That's a lot of money. So if it's successfully fixing that, then great. But I'm gonna go try it out. Probably find a friend. All that joyful stuff.
I was just interested in just the concept that you can do exploration without necessarily firing your weapon. But it's not like a lock something, activate a module, and then wait like it used to be, or with mining. Like, it's a completely different PvE dynamic.
Yeah, that should be nice, especially since the best exploration ships are not combat ships. A exploration-fitted CovOps is not going to be shooting anyone anytime soon. Or rather, it will be shooting someone, but usually I only shoot people who are logged off and aggressed with mine. Get my little Horrier drone.
I think we killed a crystal set pod in Burnjita. One of our co-ops probed it down, soloed it with his drone.
Nice! Yeah, the drone on the Helios is useful.
Anything else you would like to tell us, Allie, CSM-wise, glad you're here? Communicate with the player base, Allie, come on.
I see your promised heckling is starting already.
Oh, all year. It's gonna be all year.
Not much I could say other than post in the feedback threads on the Evo forums when they go up for features, because CCP does actually read those. Like, even though it can you see, you know, several pages without a post or whatever, that lack of post does not mean that CCP is not in fact reading things.
And when is your next Google Hangout? Because I think that's the one cool thing that Allie has done that we didn't do last year. And I'm all for the CSM experimenting with new ideas as to how to talk to the players. You know, we tried it by making declarations or the regular podcast for the CSM. Allie has gone one step further and added in like video content too on Google Hangouts.
My next one will be next weekend. I'm going to say Saturday, 20 o'clock, same as I think that's, I'm going to aim for that to be my regular time. Looking at spending an hour, hour and a half talking about things. I posted up on, if you have a Google Plus account, you can X up and join. If you don't, you can watch it live on YouTube and comment there on the Google Plus page. Tweet at me at Twitter. And I'm going to see about getting some sort of other live channel set up. I am going to be traveling next weekend. I'm going to, if anyone who's listening is going to the BayCon convention in Santa Clara, California, you should hit me up on Twitter and we should plan some sort of meetup, because that's where I'll be next weekend. It'll be awesome. But it means that next weekend's hangout will be probably a little bit more short. Just because I'll be doing it, you know, from my laptop on the hotel wireless.
And what is your Twitter handle for the audience?
Ali of space, underscores between name and space. Name of space.
What?
Terrible.
It's terrible. It's Ali of space, @Ali_of_space.
There you go. All right, so everybody follow Ali Aris on Twitter. If you're going to be in the San Francisco area for that con, hit her up. And definitely show up to her next Google Hangout. I'm going to try to be there so I can heckle
awesome.
Her live.
I look forward to it. Anyways, I'm going to head off now. I have a date with some people to shoot.
Sexy. Good hunting.
Thank you. Good luck with the rest of your podcast.
Alright guys, we're going to start closing it out now, but one thing I want to do is get the audience in here. We've got a lot of people listening. I would like to give you all the opportunity to shout out. So what we are going to do, if I can, no, I can't select everybody. If you would like to give a shout out to somebody, you know, don't go crazy with it, but like 10 seconds or so, just X up and chat and we'll get you set up. Miss Lum.
Mine is to Darkspawn and the Unthinkables because they're quite happily kicking Red Alliance's ass and they managed to kill two Red Alliance super carries the other day, so keep up the good work.
Lyric Lander.
A quick shout out to Onslaught, who are kind of my home away from home while I was away from Eve and Dust, and now that I'm back in Eve, I'm in Noir. So shout out to Onslaught in Rothel.
Kingblade.
I would like to give a shout out to Noir, past, present, and future, and let's keep on doing it to it.
Leoso.
Just a shout out to all the pilots that were involved in the craziness in Delve for the past couple days.
Alex G.
I'd like to give a shout out to everyone that's here. Thank you very much for turning up.
Alright guys, thank you very much for being a part of this 50th episode and making it something crazy and special. It was really cool to have Jimmer and Alex G here. It was really cool to sort of throw out the format and involve people coming on and telling their stories of the past 10 years of EVE. The 10th anniversary of EVE, the 50th anniversary of Declarations of War, 50th episode anyway. I mean, this stuff is only going to happen once ever. So thank you for being a part of it. And thank you for listening at home. We'll be back in about 2 weeks with the next episode, going back to our more normal format. And we're going to start featuring some more CSM8 members. We're going to get them all on the podcast if we can and have them talk about good stuff and help them, you know, continue communicating with the player base. Because the CSM is important and the people on the CSM tend to be interesting people. So we're going to bring them all to you. They're going to tell you their stories. They're going to let you know what's going on. And as usual, we'll bring you the latest in EVE Mercenary News, 00 Space Politics, Meta, Small Gang PvP, all the good stuff. And that's it for Alexiv Card.
Thanks for everything, guys. It was a bit of a crazy format today, but I think it gave us a good idea of maybe doing live shows in the future, what we'll need to do, and how it could work, but I definitely think it's something we could do in the future, so this was kind of a fun experiment, and thanks for being along with us on this experiment, and putting up with everything, so yeah.
Thunderbolt reminds me to plug @NoirMercs on Twitter. It's a new Twitter thing we're trying out. Go follow @NoirMercs. And Alex G, would you like to take us out?
I've actually forgotten what the outro is. This has been Declarations of War, episode 50. We have your hosts, Alexiev Card, Ninja Turtle, and myself, briefly. Thank you all for listening.
Forums at noirmercs.com, public channel, cafe noir dot. And hey, Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want?
Oh my.
Was that a horse? Was that a horse in the tub? You sick fruit.
It's totally legit.
Alright guys, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Fly dangerous.
Ripping my heart was so easy, so easy. Launch your assault now, take it easy. Raise your weapon, raise your weapon.
Chip up.